Welcome back to Rising Giants with Max and Dom, chatting with the boldest and most inspiring entrepreneurs and investors in the highest potential markets of Southeast Asia. The journey begins in Cambodia. On today's show, we have a very special guest, Sarita Rath. She is a TV host, actor, producer, and reigning Miss Universe Cambodia. We really hope you enjoy this episode. And if you want to learn more about the startup and investment ecosystem within Southeast Asia, please don't hesitate to subscribe to our Rising Giants Substack newsletter, produced once a week. Thank you so much, and please tune in. So, Sarita, thank you so much for coming on Rising Giants today. We really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. In the beginning, it would be great just if you could give our audience a brief introduction on who you are and what you're up to currently.
Thanks, Max. Very good to talk to you again, and Dom. Very nice to meet you here. So my name is Sarita Rath, and if it really matters, I'm 26, born and raised and based in Cambodia. I'm an actor, TV host, and producer, and currently the reigning Miss Universe Cambodia.
Great. Yeah, thank you for giving that introduction. And could you go into a bit about your background and how you got to where you are today in the entertainment sector?
Yeah. So going back a little, I was adopted at the age of 6 by a French and American couple. So that is the reason why I am able to speak English and French in addition to Khmer language. That time, I was very young and I didn't know what a Hollywood film was like. And I was introduced to a Hollywood film called Tomb Raider that was actually played by Angelina Jolie that time, where she came to Cambodia and shot in Siem Reap. And the moment when I watched that film, I don't even know what the word, how to describe the career is. You know, I wanted to become an actor, but I don't know the exact word of it. And from all I know is that, oh, I want to see myself on screen, on TV. How great would it feel? So that was the first tackle for myself, that I wanted to become an actress. And I start telling the people around me very, very young that time, even my dad, my friends, until I was 17, like constantly, I would just tell people, I will tell the school, I will tell my teacher, I will tell my classmates. And that time, you know, I was like a nerd. I studied hard too. I was like no one that seemed to become an actress today or who I am today. So all they respond was like, this is not for you. You're not that good looking to become an actress, or, oh, you need good connections to be in the industry, or you have to do a shortcut. Do you know what I mean? Like by shortcut, you have to just know people, because without knowing anyone, it's impossible. So I was the type of person that is very stubborn. I knew what I wanted and I knew who I wanted to become. So when I was 17, there's this competition called Freshie Girl, Freshie Boy, which is a competition, a contest that you go up there on stage and showcase your talent. So each week, we will go on TV on that show to show different talents. Like first week you will dance, and then the second week you would act. The third week you will sing. And then the fourth week you would be doing the runway. And so that's how I started, but I didn't make to top five, but I had the opportunity to be at the finalists. So that's how everything started. And then a year after that, when I turned 18, I was still in high school, by the way, FYI. It was really hard for me because that time I was in private school and they were really strict. And also I was really focused on my study as well. But at the same time, I told myself that I have to do something with it. I can't just let the opportunity just pass by because you never know. That might be the only once in a lifetime opportunity that comes to you. So I had to switch myself to a public school where I could, you know, switch shifts. So I could either go to the morning or the afternoon time where they were pretty flexible and that I can also focus on my my dream job as an actress that time. And I first got my big gig after many, many, many uncountable auditions, many, many, many that I can't even count. My first biggest gig was a TV series that was funded by the BBC Media Action from London, which they came to Cambodia. And that's how everything started. It's just long story until I got here. And I'm now in the industry for, I think, 8-9 years now. I think almost, yeah. If you want to know anything more, you can ask me.
Great. Thank you. Thank you so much for giving that background. And just out of curiosity, when you were doing all these interviews, and of course, you said it took a long time for you to secure your first role. How did you deal with that rejection? What kept you motivated to get that first role?
Yeah, I think it was just the drive, the passion. I was just crazy about it. I don't know how to explain to the people around me. It was just the drive. It was just the love that I have for this industry. And I always tell myself that if I don't start it, if I don't do anything good or show and prove to the people that artists is someone that deserve to be recognized or respected, if I don't start it, then no one will. Because in Cambodia, a lot of people would look at artists in different ways. And how can I say this? Yeah, they would just look at the artists in different kinds of ways where they have less respect or not much recognition.
Yeah,
and how I dealt with the rejection, it was not a problem for me. I say, having the opportunity to go and cast, to go and have a try is already something for me. So by just having the opportunity to just go, to just show up, to just let people see you, to know you in person, it's already enough. If it's meant to be for you, I always tell myself that if the role is meant to be for me, it will be for me. And to have that role, to have that first gig, I was only the second choice. I was not the first choice because the other person, I don't know what she did. Maybe she messed up. Maybe she was too busy. And then that role came to me. And then that's how everything kicked off from there.
Okay. And I just wanted to touch on something that you just mentioned about how the perception of artists. So I guess this was, nearly 10 years ago, when you were getting your first gig.
Yeah.
Then how has the perception of artists changed in the time that you've now been in the entertainment sector?
If I have to make a comparison 10 years ago and now, there's a huge difference. It has got so much better today. If we look back 10 years ago, people, especially as a female artist, they have a hard time to deserve the respect that they actually should deserve, the recognition, the hard work, because they just believe that they're just puppets, or they just go on camera and act pretty or look pretty, act cute, and get paid, which is not true. And they believe that, we're not that educated, which that is one of the biggest part that I want to prove. You have to really work hard in order to be a part of this, to be someone that also deserves respect and recognize. And then today, it has changed so much. I think also because social media has played a big part of it. Since right now we are transitioning to everything to digital, everyone has a platform, everyone has a voice, and which it is one of the biggest, which is one of the biggest tools to make them be well recognized or respect today.
Great. No, that makes a lot more sense as to how it's unfolded. And in your journey within the industry, so you said you got your first. How did that then unfold for you after you managed to secure your first show? How much easier did that make it that you kind of got your foot in the door? And then what has been your journey sort of since then?
So by the time I got that gig, of course, you know, you meet a lot of people. You get to work with other artists, and some artists are already really big in Cambodia. And then you know the cast and crews, the directors, the producers, the writers, and of course they know you. And like by just knowing them, by just having the opportunity to be able to network with them, that's how you start to secure yourself and to be in a position where I can do other things. I can always go back to them if I want to give another try in different roles. So I think networking is very important. And by just knowing them, it leads me to different doors, not just as an actress, but as a TV host. The different TV stations start to recognize me. And I first hosted different TV shows in 2014. And that's how everything kicked off as well as a TV host a year after my gig in the Love 9 series.
Okay, and maybe just going into more detail on that, like what have been some of your highlights of your career so far in the entertainment industry? Well, maybe what are some other shows that you've been involved in that you'd like to sort of highlight to the audience?
Since the start until now, I have acted over 10 films, including short films, feature films, TV series, web series. So everything is different. And what I can say the biggest highlight within the years that I have been in is definitely the first gig that I got called Love 9 series, season 1 and season 2, which it is a show that is pretty viral across Cambodia because it is a TV show that tackles sexual and reproductive health. It is one of the first show that dares to do it. Very, very positive feedback. And so yes, that is one of the biggest project that I have worked on. And I got the opportunity to work in several Hollywood films, including Hex, that was shot in Gap. It was a Canadian production. And also, within my career, it boosted my confidence. I gained more confidence to be able to join the competition of Miss Universe Cambodia last year, which it was a very big advantage for me because I was already comfortable on stage and knew what I wanted. And these are the three biggest highlights for me. up until today.
Great, thank you. And that's a great transition into so Miss Universe. What made you interested in pursuing that, and how has that experience been for you?
So I have always been so fond of, you know, the pageant and everything, but I never thought that I would become one myself. Just a big fan. And then go back a little bit. I'm only the fourth representative of Miss Universe Cambodia on the global stage. So it's been only 4 years that we have Miss Universe Cambodia. Throughout the years, as I watched the show, the competition from year to year, every winners have their own uniqueness. And I see the potential in that platform. A lot of people are looking at it now. And I see that it is a very interesting platform for women to actually come up and showcase their confidence, to speak up, to be the voices of other things that others don't really talk about. And I believe education really plays a big part of it as well, to become a Miss Cambodia, a Miss Universe Cambodia. And, you know, in Cambodia, when we talk about pageants, when we say Miss Cambodia, all they think is just the beauty, the perfect body, the height, having this stereotype perfection towards that woman. And I want to change that part. And so by me going to the competition, by just announcing that I'm going to join, people were already like, half were really supportive and the other half was doubting on me. They didn't say that they don't believe, but they were doubting that, can I make it or not? And so by winning, by being the fourth representative in Miss Universe from Cambodia, it really changed all sectors. It really opened up everyone's mind that to become the next Miss Universe Cambodia, you must work hard. You must also be well aware of your own country, educated, and to be someone that can be the voice for other people that don't have the opportunity to speak up. And so that was, that was the reason why I started to compete in Miss Universe Cambodia. And before I joined, actually, I took 2 years to train to understand about the competition. So it was 2 years of preparation. I even flew out of the country to do proper trainings at a country where they was more experienced in pageant industry. And that's how I became Miss Universe Cambodia. And the journey outside on the global stage, it was a mind-blowing experience. It was something that I didn't expect. I went to the US to compete. It was held in Hollywood, Florida, which it was not that long ago, a few months ago. And I stayed 2 months and a half after the competition. The Cambodian people that lived in the US was really, really happy and surprised that, oh, there's a Miss Universe from Cambodia now in the US. So they would do anything. Some would fly out to just meet you. Some would gather people and create events to welcome me. And I went to, I would say, almost 10 states to meet the Cambodian people in the US. So it's just like an experience. It really led me to different kinds of opportunity and meet a lot of people, made a lot of connection, network a lot. I even meet people in the film industry, in Hollywood as well, that have done awesome films. I'm pretty sure you guys have watched it as well. So that was one of the most amazing journey out of after becoming Miss Universe Cambodia and competed in the US.
Yeah, and that sounds like a very humbling experience as well, to have people come out and either go to the show or welcome you into their homes. Yeah. and have this celebration. It's such a great and connecting feeling, you know. And one of the things that I'm curious about too is, and you can say it at a high level, but what were some of the aspects of the competition? What were some of the things that you had to train for in the pageant? I can't imagine it'd have to be such hard. It would be great if you could touch on that.
Yeah, so after being a part of it myself, I really have full respect for other women out there that has gone to multiple pageant competitions. I went to I think three only. This is the third one that I joined. But some women would go to 10 different competitions. Just full on respect for them, because to be able to stand on that stage, having the confidence, having that poise and elegance within the pressure, it is not easy. To be involved in the pageants, this is overall, I'm talking about overall pageant queens, you know, beauty queens. They would train for years. Some would train since they were young. And what is the most important part to become a beauty pageant title holder is, one, you must be aware of the world situation, the world events, because questions would be thrown to you without you knowing what type are they. And then two, of course, you need to go through all this training where you have to walk, position, where to stand, and which angle. It's just very, very specific, very detailed. And then three is public speaking. And those are the qualities that they should have in order to win the title.
Yeah.
And then the beauty comes after, because now it has transitioned to this, you know, in this 21st century, I think it has changed a lot when it comes to the beauty. It's not just about the looks anymore, but it's just about the inside and what can you put out there, and how much confidence do you have to be on stage. I don't only have trainers from Cambodia, but I have five different mentors from the Philippines. We would just schedule our time, mm-hmm. and then go through the questions and learn about current events and how see the possibilities of other judges might ask you. And so there are times that we would even train at 2 a.m. in the morning. At that time, I remember I was in the U.S. and then they were all in the Philippines. Some are in Europe and the others were in Canada. So we really want to put the work in it and just want that girl to be the best representative. You know, we don't want her to look like she has no clue about what is going on. She needs to be someone that understands about the world.
And I can totally understand with the time difference, as Max and I have been doing the podcast from me being on the East Coast of the United States and him currently located in Cambodia. And kind of touching a little bit on the mentors, at the competition, were there some Or were there any other people there that were mentors to you or that you looked up to, or those that have been in the competition for a long time now that were able to give any advice or any comfort for, you know, coming to the competition for the first time?
So honestly, beauty pageant is very new to Cambodia and we're very young, but luckily I had great mentors, especially the head of the training camp in the Philippines. I call him Tito Raj. His name is Raj. So he has trained like many, many, many successful beauty queens back in the Philippines who have succeeded on international stage. And so I don't really know any beauty queens that actually succeeded on the international stage from Cambodia. But from what I have from them is they told me in advance that it is once in a lifetime opportunity, and winning it or not, you have to enjoy. You really have to enjoy that journey because that will never come to you again. And by having their words, I think it really changed me and put less pressure on me. Because, you know, the country really wants to see you like win the competition or being placed in the competition. And then you have all that pressure. But with the people that I have, the mentors from the Philippines, Tito Raj, and the three past title holders, they told me in advance. And that really put me at ease and did my best on the competition.
And Sarita, what has it been like going through that experience and then coming back to Cambodia? And how has that shifted your approach to your career moving forward?
Oh my goodness. A lot of people approach me for hosting, which it is already a part of my career. A lot of jobs were offered, many opportunities were offered, not because of, you know, after I became Miss Universe Cambodia, but it's because they see the potential and they give respect for an artist figure. And I think, yeah, after the competition, I think it's not just me, but they start to respect the overall artist or, you know, public figure or the beauty pageant title holder even more to another level.
Okay, and you mentioned about hosting. What do you see your focus being moving forward in what kinds of entertainment you want to be involved with?
So I still have a few months having the responsibility as the title holder. I will pass my duty to the next reigning Miss Universe Cambodia within the next few months. And I will always stand firm with my passion, which is film. At the same time, yes, a TV host, because it's something that I love and I want to expand it even bigger. And I have talked to a few mentors of mine that are in the industry that I want to go back to making films, both as an actress and as a writer, as a director and a producer myself. So full focus, so full on focus for film wise after this, because I really want to lift up the film industry in Cambodia. I see great potential in Cambodia in the film industry, because from what I know, this year we have a few Hollywood films are coming in already, and I hope that in the near future Cambodia is known and attract a lot of international films to be filmed here, because it's a wonderful country, great people, talented people. It is just not out there, you know, the marketing or how we promote ourselves is just not out there full on yet. So I want to take part in it. And I want to be one of the first person that shows to the world that, hey, Cambodia is a very, very interesting place for you to be making films. And it's just a great potential.
Yeah, Dom and I fully agree on that. I mean, there are so many misconceptions. And I think even with this this COVID outbreak in Cambodia really outperforming the entire region with how they've dealt with that, it's great to hear that some Hollywood films are looking at coming here. Just quickly on that, how does that process work when a Hollywood film wants to come and film in Cambodia? Like, what do they normally aim for in regards to the casting within the split between actors that they bring in from abroad and then people that they want to work with in the country?
So it's both. It depends on the film, the stories, of course. Some films is just their own talent from their own country only, and they don't need any local cast. But if there are any local casts, of course, there's extras and everything. By coming into Cambodia, of course, they will have to first go through CFC, Cambodia's Film Commission. I'm not sure if you've heard of that. And they help facilitate and process the film and everything. We have line producers out here that helps them to make the work easier. And some films, they have written specifically, you know, for example, Cambodia. In the story, they met a Cambodian woman, or not Cambodian, but maybe other characters that are from, you know, the region, from the region of Southeast Asia, because we basically look the same. So it really is the matter of how talented the local cast is. And if she or he is exceptional enough, then of course they can't deny and take you to be a part of their Hollywood film production.
And with this potential, what trends do you see, especially in the younger generation? What sort of genre or type of entertainment do you see that they enjoy the most?
Honestly, you know, we all know that everything is transitioning to digital. And of course, during COVID, all the cinemas are closed. So everyone is just making films and put it online. And for Cambodia, especially for Cambodia's film market, they're really interested in creative things. They are more open to different kinds of films. And of course, they are still doing films that the audience wanted to see, like, rom-com or a horror thriller. This is what they're currently really interested in. So we, as a filmmaker, we try to be balanced of making film for just the audience preferences and also making films that, the filmmakers personally want to make, and that is personal for them, and to show them the creativity and what is the real quality good film should be like.
And within that, as you said earlier, that production is something that you would really like to continue with in your career. What are some of the attributes that you need to be a good producer?
To be a good producer or whatever, you know, as in like film crew, production, you must be sure of what you want, and to respect the crew's decision and to see the same vision.
What is your vision in creating a standout Cambodia film for the global stage?
We have seen remarkable work from my past filmmaker friends, and that their films were selected and won several awards on international stage, including a few films that I worked with myself as a talent. And within such short period of time, we've seen so much progressing. If we have to make a comparison back to 10, 15 years ago, and I believe that the film industry is really rising up. So imagine in the next, say, 3 to 5 years, I believe it's one of the strongest country to be making films in the region, and not just in the region of Southeast Asia, but we can be able to compete in the international market as well.
And maybe just to transition a little bit, just want to ask you quickly what your perspective is on this and how you view it is, how do you see women's entrepreneurship and business leadership developing in Cambodia?
Oof. Definitely we have more females coming in to different sectors now. If we compare, of course, 10 years ago, which is not that long time ago, we don't see much female leaders in big companies, and now they're really coming up. They're really talented, and I see that the women are really fighting for their dreams, their goals, and to finally reveal their true potential and talent, no matter what kind of sector they are in, either as an entrepreneur, a businesswoman, or a filmmaker, is basically doing the things that people don't expect women to be doing. So I really see that Cambodia is really having so many upcoming female leaders in big industries and in big positions. And I'm very proud to see that. As a woman myself, I'm really, really happy and proud of them.
What are some of the industries that you see these women really taking charge and leading in?
Definitely three major things that I'm like, damn girl, hands down, is in the corporate world, of course. Also, yes, as a filmmaker myself, I see them holding cameras, big, huge cameras, as a cinematographer, as a DOP, you know, director of a photographer of photography. And by just being in the tech world, they're just really smart.
What are some of the habits that you install in yourself to stay motivated or self-accountable?
Honestly, there's this phrase that is stuck within me for a very long time. Is you are who you hang out with, and I believe that is true. So to keep myself motivated and inspired and having the drive to continue of what I'm doing is to definitely surround myself with people that are more experienced or smarter than me by just being around positive vibe. And I'm a person that meets a lot of people every day because of my work. But when it's not working time, I like to spend some time with myself, just doing nothing and to be quiet. And by that, I can see myself to take care of myself personally, mentally. And by taking care of my emotions and mental health is very important to continue to have the drive.
Yeah, completely agree. It's like you need the time to recharge and
that's correct.
And to kind of have that peace and quiet as well. What would you say has been your biggest failure, and what did you learn from that experience?
So at the time, it was 2012. I first joined this talent competition. I only made it to semifinal, and at that time I thought that it was such a big failure for me because the whole school was laughing at me, and then they were saying, "See, I told you this is not for you." But in my head, yes, of course, it took me a year to get over it and to actually work harder to go back again next year and to do it again, to join the competition again. Instead of saying it as a failure, it was a very big lesson for me. And I always tell myself that if it's meant to be for you, it will be for you. And if it's meant to happen, it will happen. So everything happens for a reason. That's what I always tell myself. And this is how I turned the word failure to a lesson, to an experience that I can learn from it. So by overcoming it, it's a self motivating word where everything happens for a reason. This is not for you. This is not your year. So if you really want to do it, so try to make yourself better and go again and do it better.
No, completely agree. And the amount of courage that it takes, especially at such a young age, to come back from that, as well as, you know, the criticism from classmates or those around you that were kind of sending that negative energy. It takes a lot of mental strength to continue to pursue your dream. And what do people misunderstand about you the most?
Oh my god! Up until today, of course, I would receive I think 1 out of 100 people would just come and write a comment on my post and say, "You snobbish, stuck-up bitch." Yes, they think that I'm very, very arrogant or snobbish. I think it's just because of my serious face. But I think what instantly changed their thoughts and mine is with my smile back at them. I think it completely changed because I know myself, I'm not stuck up, I'm not snobbish. Sometimes people have bad days and you don't know them. And of course, people know you and they expect you to be perfect and all smiley, giggly all the time, which you're not. But yeah, that's what people misunderstood about me. My character, my personality. That's the thing.
Yeah, keeping it real, as we would say.
Yes.
Always keeping it real.
Yes. Yeah.
What would you say is the most formative book you've ever read, or a book that you've read that has really stuck with you?
Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Because I remember what it has always been stuck in my head is, it really affects me up until today. It's not just about, when you see the title of the cover, perhaps people think, how to be rich or just about making money. It's not about that, but it's about the discipline. It's about the people you hang out with. It's about surrounding yourself, you know, with people that are smarter than you, and to be working smart rather than, say, working hard. Because when you work smart enough to be able to save extra time to do other things, I think this is one of the best quality that people could have. And it's like you become what you study. So, or you become what you do. That book really, really stuck in my head up until today. And also, it really taught me how to learn how to listen to other people. Listen to understand, not listen to respond. This is what I'm saying.
Right. No, couldn't agree more on all those points too. It really, you know, that one of there's a saying that says, you know, you are like the five or six most people that you hang around as well. And if you look around and there's, you know, you don't feel like you're growing or progressing as a person, it's maybe it's time to make a change. And really it's on you to make the change. And it's it's great.
People really I mean, in the industry, people really thought that I have a lot of friends, knowing a lot of maybe people that are famous in the industry that are my friends, but it's the opposite. All of my friends are all from different industry. They're not, none of them are in, I'm talking about my close friends. None of them are in the same industry that I work in. Some are in the corporate world. Some are in, you know, just like normal staff, or some are just mothers, but they are the people that motivates me. They taught me a lot of things, and my friends are very minimal, very little, but it's the quality friends.
Exactly. Yeah. And what advice would you give to younger Cambodian women or girls that look up to you and want to pursue a similar career as yours?
Yeah. So I think this advice can go to any other kinds of career, different sector. It's know yourself well, being aware of yourself, know what you want, and to continue to do what you love and what you believe in, and to be confident in your capabilities, in your abilities, and what you can bring to the table. And by just having that quality of confidence, you don't need to tell people how good you are. It's just by that, you can go very far. To just keep pushing and to never, never give up. I know that we've heard a lot of that words, but sometimes they underestimate the word never give up. It just, you fall, you get back up and you go. You stop, you know, if, don't leave much time for whining and failure. Just go. Just go for it.
Right. Keep on going regardless of how much, you know, how many times you fall down. It's if it's 100 times on that 101st time, it might be where you achieve that success or the goal that you're going for.
Yeah. If you believe in something, just go for it.
Yeah, exactly. And our traditional closing question that we like to ask all of our guests is, what is the most important advice that you have been ever given?
Be kind, because I think the world needs more of that. And I think it sounds very simple, but I think it's very effective. By being kind to the people around you, especially to the people that you don't even know, changed their lives. It really changed their lives. And it's actually the advice from my dad. Smile more, because smiling is free. No one charges you for smiling.
Yeah, I love the smile more because it's free. It's such it's such a simple thing, and you never know.
Yes.
You never know what it is that you could just
yes.
you could smile at someone random and
yes.
you know, maybe and that makes their whole day.
Life. Exactly. Yes, it's true.
Exactly. Well, well, Sarita, thank you so much for coming on to the show today. We really enjoyed your time and learned so much about your background, about the industry, and more about yourself too. And so we really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.